Today's topic, some people asked me, they didn't understand exactly what it means, fourth dimension, the war of the worlds, sounds like a science fiction, but it's not fiction at all. Sorry about the mic. So, there's a war going on for a while, that maybe we don't realize is actually an actual Mechama. And that is... there's a world, what we call the man-made world, the world that was made by the human being. It's under the world called technology. And there's a war that the Satan is trying to get all of us to move out of the third dimension, which is the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, into the fourth dimension, into the world that the human being created. Not the first time this has happened. We'll see soon in Parshas Noach that the human being wanted to build a tower to go up and to fight with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they thought they could kill HaKadosh Baruch Hu and create their own world. The Dara Flugger. 2 weeks ago, there was a great tragedy in the United States. It happened in Colorado. There was a movie called Batman. All those that don't know what Batman is, not that I know that much about him, but he's a superhero. Batman Robin, Batman saves the world, Batman saves Gotham City. He's a superhero that a lot of kids grow up with in comic books. And 2 weeks ago, they came out with a movie, a Batman movie in Colorado, and the first time it showed was at 12 o'clock on a Saturday night. And there were many people waiting online to get into this other world, the world that man created. And they finally got in at 12 o'clock, they started the movie, and a big never for all those people that were in that theater that night. At 12:30, a man got up in front of a huge screen in front of the movie theater, his hair was dyed red, and he said, "I am the Joker." The Joker is a bad guy in the superhero movie. He whipped out a machine gun, a couple of other weapons, and he began to shoot the innocent people that were in this theater. 12 people died, many injured. A little girl, 6 years old, some men, some women. And I saw a picture, and the picture said a lot to me. And the picture was a very terrible picture of women and men slumped over their chairs, blood all over the place, a little six-year-old girl laying in the aisle with blood all over the place, and in front of them, the screen, and on the screen, Batman. What a world, the fourth dimension. Here's the superhero. $100 million in making. Yitzhahara will spend all the money in the world to create the fake world. And there he is, is a superhero. He's on the screen. Batman. And the Joker. A man who says he's the Joker standing there shooting people in cold blood. Where's Batman? Why isn't he saving the people in the theater? He's a superhero. Batmobile, Batgun, Bat everything. They sell millions of dollars of toys. Where is he? People are dying. Batman, help! Batman can't help. Batman is not real. Batman lives in the fourth dimension. Batman lives in a man-made world. Where it actually says in the movie, actor and actress, it's screaming at all of us, at everybody in this billion-dollar world that was built, that the person that you're watching on the screen is an actor. It's an actress. It's not real. They're telling you before you walk into the movie, it's not real. What you're about to see is not real. And we flock to that world. One of the biggest industries in the world. Hollywood. Disneyland. Mickey Mouse is not a mouse. There's no such thing as Mickey Mouse. And there's no such thing as Superman. And there's no such thing as Donald Duck. And there's no such thing as Elmo. But that's what our children are watching. And that's the world that this sucker is selling. That's a billion-dollar world. But a lot of us are too smart to be pulled into that world. And we don't go to the movies. And we don't believe in Batman and Mickey Mouse and Elmo. We've been a Torah. We go to movies. We don't watch DVDs. We don't cry. I was telling some girls last week, a girl told me that she saw a movie, we're having a whole discussion about movies. She said, Wallstein, I never in my life cried as much as in this movie when I watched this woman. She had cancer and she was dying in her husband's hands. And at the end of the movie, he tells her he loves her and she dies. Or Wallstein, I never had such a cry. I told all my friends, you want to see a good cry? Well, they're into crying for no reason. You hear? She cried. About an actress that died in an actor's hands. And the minute they finished shooting that scene, the actress got up and went to have an ice cream. And you're crying? It's my proof for Tchias HaMeisim. You go to a theater, watch a movie, the hero gets killed, and if you wait 20 minutes till it plays again, he's back. And every 3 hours, he's back. It's amazing. You paid money to watch this guy get killed. But he didn't really get killed because in 20 minutes, he's back on the screen. And then maybe, if you're in an 8 movie theater with 8 different worlds going on at the same time, he's in a different movie. At the same time, he's dying and bleeding. He's flying jets. It's not a real world. So why am I talking about movies to this crowd? I'm lost and wasting your time. Alright, maybe someone in this room knows somebody that watches movies, maybe. No. There's something to know that there's been a yeshiva, it's made for ladies, and we're not going to have DVDs, and we're not going to go to the movies, and we're not going to buy paperback books. They're going to make us cry because Hashem said, is what I told the girls on Tisha B'Av when they came back from Rosalind. Hashem said, let me tell you one thing. If you cry for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. You sat and watched a movie and wasted the most powerful weapon that a Jewish woman has? Her tears? Nuclear warheads? That could break the Basel? That could break the wall of Basel in the next world? The Shalei Demise are always open? And you dropped a nuclear bomb? On a movie? Chas v'shalom, Hashem will give you reason to cry. Don't you dare cry for no reason. Dr. Kleistro did on Tisha B'Av night. There's Yisrael, giants!
trying to sit in. Oh my gosh! You're crying in panic! So if you're crying in panic over nothing, I'll give you a reason until the Shiach comes every Tisha B'Av you'll cry. Spanish Inquisition, World War I, Holocaust, Tumei Tamigdash, it's not going to stop. I came directly to this Shiach tonight, today, from a Levaya of one of my Talmidim, who died on Shabbos, he's in his 20s from cancer. And they were crying at this Levaya. His friends and his mother and his father. They had reason to cry. If you dare cry for no reason. So that's what we want to do. We want to read a book, watch a movie, so that our tears should be wasted. So Hashem's giving us a lot of reasons to cry. What a powerful world the fourth dimension is. So we're sitting in Tisha B'Av, which is interesting. When Titus came into the Beis HaMikdash with his naily shoes, Klai Yisrael was very excited. Because they knew that if he makes a mistake and walks into the Kodesh Kedoshim, he's going to get what Nadav and Abihu got. Fire is going to come out of Shemayim and kill him. So the Kahanim were all excited. When they saw him walking to the Kodesh Kedoshim, they said, Titus is over. And Titus walked into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he took a Sefer Torah, and he unrolled it, and he did a terrible avera with a woman in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And Kleistro was standing outside, where's the fire, Hashem? Nothing about you, you killed. They're crying, you died in that way. Second, they're coming to us. They didn't do it exactly like the right Kavana. There was a string tied to their feet. They died. And this Russia takes the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh Kedoshim with a woman and does an Aveira, takes his sword out and cuts the Parekas, and the Parekas is bleeding. And he turns to Hashem and says, so you're king and I'm king. Which is the real king? And the Kahanim are waiting for this huge fire to come out of Shemayim and eat him up alive. And nothing happens. And the Malachim of the Kahanim ask, Kodesh Kedoshim Hashem, what's going on? Hashem said, I'm not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. I left. What he's doing? Parekas? It's okay. What he's doing to Kodesh Kedoshim? It's no longer there. I'm not here. The Shekhinah's not here anymore. Now it's back to the man-made world. It's the fourth dimension, it's bricks and wood that you can break and that you can burn. Shekhinah is not here anymore. Hashem took his anger out on Eitzim V'Avonim. Eitzim V'Avonim are man-made. They're built. A building is built by man. So we think that the world of technology is our friend. So my subject today is not movies. Won't crowd. The subject today is cell phones. Computers. Social networks. Man-made, non-feeling, cannot help you machines. You can be chas v'shalom walking across the street and a bus is bearing down on you. Scream to your phone! Help me! Speak to your computer, to your iPhone, I don't care what kind of phone you have. It's going down with you underneath that bus. Speak to a human being that's on the sidewalk. Doesn't have the Google, doesn't have the brains of a computer or an iPhone. And that person can pull you out of the way of the bus. Because that person was created by Hashem. In this massacre that happened in this movie theater, 12 people were killed, a lot injured, but 12 people were killed. Four of the ones that were killed were men. Each one of them, it's written, saved their girlfriend. They died being a human shield and taking the bullets from this man's machine gun to save their girlfriend. They saved their girlfriend. and I thought about this. They're going, they're not Jews. They're humans. They're created with seven elikim. They're three-dimensional. They took bullets for another person and died. They all died, all four of them. But Batman, the superhero, could do nothing. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to realize what's real and what's not real? I sat by Kinnis this morning, and during davening, during Kinnis, when we're talking about women cooking their children, and we're talking about Asura Eruge Malchus, skin being peeled until the makom had tefillin, there were two guys sitting there on their iPhones, texting, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the war! On Tisha B'Av, this is the war of the world! The Satan's world, the man-made phone against Hashem's world, and we're losing! They're texting in the middle of women, cooking the children, doesn't anything matter anymore? And the answer is, it's two different worlds. And we think that we can live in both. And I'm going to read you from Eliyahu HaNavi that you cannot live in both. You cannot bring yourself one into shul. You can't put it on vibrate. You can let it vibrate in your pocket in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Your Shemoneh Esrei is over because you're wondering who called you. You have to leave the phone in the car. The two worlds don't come together. They don't work together. I was in the car with somebody a few months ago, and he got the new iPhone 4, I think it's called. And he said, Rabbi Wallstein, it is the coolest phone. I'm like, really? Why? He said, because you can ask it anything you want. What he didn't say is you can ask it anything you want and you'll get it. I said, really? Let me see how it works. So I think her name is Sarit, I mean, pretend to be Jewish or not. Some computer voice, whatever. And he says, hi. And the computer says, hi. In a girl's voice. By the way, you can get any voice you want. It's amazing. English accent, German accent, whatever, any accent you want. And he says, will you marry me? I'm sitting in the car with her. And she says, this computer, I don't know. We have to spend more time together. She's ready. Isn't that cool? I'm like, what happens if she said yes? This is who he's in love with. The phone. I said, pretty brilliant. He said, ask the phone, did God create the world? Hello? Did God create the world? 2 seconds, a few more seconds. And she says, I don't have enough information. I said, ask it if there is a God. Is there a God? I cannot answer that question. An atheist telephone. Because the Satan, who's the Joker, who's behind the technology, will never let a phone say that God created the world. And we'll never let a phone say that there is a God. Because Steve Jobs made sure that Apple was correct. We would never ever say anything about Hashem. Or that the Jews are the chosen nation. It has to be politically correct. It's the world of the Satan. It's fake. Ask it for rain, I told him. Ask it for rain! Ask it for food! Ask it to cure your sickness! It'll give you information where to go. It can't cure your sickness, and it can't give you food, and you need to get clarity what this thing is. It is a different world. I was in Florida 5 years ago. I went to go out with my wife, and I heard there's one of these
not a movie theater. It's like a place that you go in and you sit down. It's sort of like a ride. It's like a movie theater, but it's not. It has a big screen, and you put on these 3D yellow glasses. It's very cool. You sit in there, and then you're in a mine, inside a mine, and there's like metal barrel, you know, the ones that they use for coal in the mine, and you're in that when you put on your glasses, and then this thing goes through the mine, right? You're watching it go through the mine. You're in it, and it's like 3D, so like, all of a sudden the track ends, and it's falling, right? And you feel your stomach go, whoa! It said warning on the outside, pregnant women can't go on the ride, and people who have motion sickness can't go on the ride, and I have motion sickness, I never go on a roller coaster. So I said, I told my wife, you know, let me just see what this thing's all about. So when all the people went out the door, after the ride's over, I peeked in. And it was just a bunch of chairs, no roller coaster, and a big screen. I'm like, heh, I can handle this. Chairs don't move. They move a teeny bit, but they don't move. So the guy outside, I'm like, what's these warnings? I saw what's going on in there. Why can't pregnant women go and people with motion sickness? He goes, go in, you'll find out. So I go in, and you sit down in a regular chair, and you put on these glasses, like all the other 100 suckers in the room. And then, on the screen, begins this ride. So you're like in the ride, and it starts flying through this tunnel. And your chair moves and drop. And I'm not nauseous. I'm going crazy, I'm nauseous. But I was lucky enough to ask the guy, if you really get nauseous, I didn't believe him, what should you do? You can't get up in the middle, they don't let you out. It's dark. He says, just take the glasses off. Okay? So, it also hits this point where there's no tracks. And it feels like the thing you're sitting in is dropping, and the whole place is screaming. No! The whole place is screaming. And I'm like, over. I can't. I mean, I have to throw up. I'm done. So I take the glasses off. Now, you have to see what it looks like in the room. Bunch of people, like this. Right? Now I'm not wearing the glasses anymore. So the thing on the screen is all mishkabamas. I can't see it. Unfocused, totally out of focus. And I'm just watching 100 people. And I'm watching it and I'm like, this room is not moving. The chairs are not moving. 100 mishkabamas! And I don't see the turns. I don't see what's going on. I'm like, oh no! Oh no! Oh no! And I'm like, oh no. Get me out of here. There's nothing going on. I'm watching my wife sitting next to me. She's going, and I'm like, the minute it's over, I'm putting that back on. I wish you'd think I'm a chicken, right? I didn't get nauseous. I was done. And the ride was over. And everybody would have to do a thing out of the chair. Like, oh, right? And I'm standing there. I'm like, hey, that was nothing. It was no big deal. I'm telling you, I never saw something as funny as that. Watching those people screaming and yelling when there was nothing going on. Nothing was the funniest thing I ever saw. Now, if you're preparing to share, I realize what I just saw. The Malachim, the angels, are watching us. We have these 3D glasses on. Whoa, new car! Whoa, check out my house! Whoa, look at my job! Whoa, just got the newest phone! Look at my technology! My computer's like this! Wow! And all day long, whole life is, whoa! Wow! Uh-oh! But the Malachim are not wearing the fourth dimension glasses. And they see the whole thing is shrugs! The whole thing you're getting excited about! A movie! A phone! It's a shrugs! And everybody's so excited on this ride! And they're watching! So it's me that's a coming. Go ask the Talmud Chacham, go ask the Chaim Kaneski. I have a question. Should I go to a great adventure with my kids? What's this great adventure? A roller coaster. You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down, your stomach goes up, your stomach goes down, your stomach goes up. New, how do you feel when you get off? Sick. Any other rides? Yeah, there's one. Spins so fast that the bottom comes out and you're still standing up. Very fast. New, whatever you get off, the whole world is spinning. I am so nauseous. It's kind of something happening. Just a machine, you know? You paying money for that? Open up line tomorrow. What are you out of your mind? Because the Chaim's not wearing 3D glasses. The Chaim's not living in the fourth dimension. The Chaim's living in the third dimension because Baruch Hu gave us real stuff. and real emotion, and real life, and real ahava, and a real tayra. So to him, like, what are you people doing? What are you getting all excited about? Do you have a nice car? You think Rav Chaim would get excited? If you told him you bought a new, brand new Lexus? If you told him you bought a brand new shop, or you bought a new Sefer that came out, he'd be all excited, want to read it. I know guys that came to him with Sfarim that he said, I'm going to read it, and I'll get back to you. You tell him, come on, Rav Chaim, hop downstairs, get into my Lexus. You think you're out of your mind. We live in this world, and we're in these glasses, that all this stuff that we're so excited about, because it's not the real world, it's fake. The emotions of the movie, it's fake. What are you doing? Wasting so much time on your phone. It's fake. A text isn't real. It doesn't have a life. It doesn't care. My phone doesn't care. I went to a violin, it was crying. My phone wasn't crying. My phone has no feelings. What are you so busy with something that's not real? It's something to use to communicate, but you have to communicate that way. The guy asked me a question. Can you text the Kala Hariyat Mekudeshes? Can you text? And the Eidim will text back Mekudeshes. How about the Eidim Yichud just leave two phones by the door? You're laughing. But it's the main part of our life. It's the most important part of our life. It's crazy. You go shopping, people are talking to you, they're not talking to you. You mix up third and fourth dimension. How many times? You know my story. I want to say a funny story on Tisha B'Av. It's a very sad story. When I was in Gartmart shopping many years ago, not that many years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I shopped for Shabbos. I was shopping, and this woman approaches me, and I'm in the meat aisle, and I'm going one way, she's going the other way, and she stops, and she goes, "You must come to me for Shabbos." Now, Hashem did me a favor since I started teaching girls and women. He took away my memory of faces. I come home and I'm like, my wife comes to the door, I'm like, do I know you? Like, I don't remember faces at all. Totally. I had this today when I came out of my shirt. A girl said, "Rabbi Wallenstein, you remember me?" I'm like, "Yeah." I have no idea who she was. I forgot faces. So when a woman comes to me at Gartmart, she says, "You must come to me for Shabbos." I'm thinking, cousin, or another girl, taught at my school. Friend, I don't know who she is. I never saw this woman before. I'm thinking, then I'm saying, "Oh, I'm going to insult her." And then she says, "And I'm not taking no for an answer." I'm thinking maybe my wife spoke to her, but I'm buying the meat and I'm buying the bones. I don't know, I'm all mixed up. I don't know this person, but she's mamish, very shocked that I'm coming to for Shabbos. So I'm like, it's not going to work because my daughter told me that she's bringing three friends. So I say to her, "Listen, I don't mind coming to for Shabbos. First of all, we can't come Friday night because we're going away Friday night. I'll come Shabbos lunch, but you got to know that it's not just my family. My daughter has three friends, so I'm going to bring her also. I'll bring them also, no problem." And this woman looks at me like I attacked her. And I'm like, "Uh-oh, Wallenstein, you just did something really bad." But I'm all mixed up. I got the third world, the fourth dimension, third dimension, everything's flying together. What's going on over here? She just invited me. She told me she's not taking no for an answer. So I'm like trying to be nice, like, "Okay, but I gotta bring, you know, my kids' friends and everything." And now she's looking at me like I'm a monster. And I don't hop. And then she turns to take a piece of meat, and I hop. In her ear is a little blue light flashing. She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to her friend on the phone, telling her, "You gotta come for showers. I'm not taking no for an answer. Shalom Aleichem, Brother Wallenstein. I'm coming to you, and I'm bringing three more kids, and I'm bringing my whole family." And the woman thinks I'm a mishugana. She goes around Gartmark inviting herself to people's houses for showers with his kids' friends. So I'm realizing, what are you doing in Gartmark talking on your phone and inviting people? You're buying food for showers. Maybe say, "Become a child of Kodesh." Because it says that when you say the coming Shabbos Kodesh, when you buy something for Shabbos, it's going to taste better. Instead of talking to your friend, when everybody thinks you're inviting, she could have had all the Mexicans coming to her house for Shabbos. You're laughing. How many times you go to a store and there are people talking to themselves, but not talking to themselves? They're in the other dimension. They're not even looking at what they buy. We live in that dimension. Forget the movies. The movies are long, and people go for 2 hours, maybe twice a week. Most people don't even go twice a week. But the cell phone is 24/7, and I said 7. Didn't say 6.
camp this summer. I've spoken to a lot of girls to camp this summer. After a week, I sent a bunch of girls to camp this summer. After a week, they're all like, they're waltzing, I want to go home. I want to go home? You're in the woods. You're away from all the garbage and the schmutz of New York. You're up in the mountains. Why do you want to go home? So I got two answers. One, I'm being bullied, which is a subject I've been talking a whole Tisha B'Av about. I came to camp and the girls from this school are not talking to me, and this one's not talking to me. And I have 11 appointments from principals from now until September till school opens to talk to their teachers about bullying. You know how sick it is today out there? I have to go talk about bullying. Jewish kids are bullying each other. I went to visit to be Menachem Avil, my wife's friend. She lost her mother. Her mother was in the Holocaust. Her mother was in Auschwitz. And sitting there was this woman's aunt, her mother's sister. And her mother's sister knows I'm not a Wallstein and knows that I speak. And she said, I don't understand. Why do you speak to women? I said, why not? She said, in Europe, where I came from, at 14, you finished school, you went home, you helped your mother, then you got married. She said, no woman ever went to a shir in the 40s in Europe. Who went to a shir? You were happy you went to school and learned something Jewish. She said, why does everybody need all these shirim? You, Chai Harari, all these guys, all these shirim, and women have chaburas. Did you imagine? In the 1940s? So where's your wife going? She's in a chabura! And they learn every Tuesday! What? So she's like, I don't understand this. She said, why do women need to go to shiurim? We did pretty well. So she told me an unbelievable story. She said, when we came to Auschwitz, they killed my mother. And it was me and my sister, we were two little girls. And Mengele Yimach Shemot was standing there. And she asked my sister, the one that passed away, the older sister. He asked my sister, "Is it twins? Are you twins?" Because he was doing experiments on Jewish twins. That was his big thing. So the sister, that the one that passed away, that was Menachem Avil for, she panicked. She was a little kid. And she said, "Yes, we're twins. They were a year and a half apart. And they almost looked like they were twins." So Mengele smiled. He said, "Ooh, twins." And he sent them to the right, and they took them to a building and put them in a room. The older sister that passed away, that was the Menachem Avil, so she started screaming at the top of her lungs. So much that the SS man came into the room, he said, what are you screaming about? We didn't do anything. And she said, no, I wanted to get your attention, because I lied. And she knew nothing about Mengele and twins, they were kids. She got up in California, they knew nothing. But she felt bad, she lied, she said, I was under pressure. She said, I'm not really a twin. I didn't tell you the truth. I'm not a twin. We were a year and a half apart, which ruined the experiment. So the SS guy said, all right, you're here already. Go into Auschwitz. Go into the concentration camp. She said, my sister was bigger than me. So she could work. They were little kids. She could work. I could not work. I was a little teeny kid. So the Nazi said, you can't work. You get no food. Let this little one starve to death. My sister gave me her bread every day. She kept a teeny little piece for herself, and she kept me alive through the war. This was the woman that was sitting shiva for her sister. So I said to her, well, since you didn't have Wallstein and all these people giving shiurim and chaburas, why? Why did your sister give her food? You didn't go to chabura on a hakulecha kamocha. You didn't go to shir on a chabat chayim. You didn't see Tisha B'Av the Chofetz Chaim, and you didn't have art school books. Why would your sister give you all her bread? And she looked at me, this woman, like I was from Mars. And she said, why? There's any need in. There's an answer. No school, no tape, no shiur, no chaburas, no shmuzin, no women coming to shlichus. Something new, first night. Kiddush, something new. They didn't have it in Europe at all. There's nothing wrong. We need it. So where'd you learn this? So she looked at me like I'm a nut. Learn it? Mizan Engagin. And now, 65 years later, Rabbi Wallerstein has to go to 12 from Chassidish Litvish from schools to talk to their teachers on how to deal with bullying? What happened to the Zen and Eden? What happened? In 65 years, not that they have to give a piece of bread to save someone else. Stop beating up emotionally on this poor kid who's cutting herself, who tried to commit suicide because you girls bullied her till she couldn't live anymore. 65 years from the Zen and Eden? So Wallstein has to give 12 speeches to 12 big famous schools to the teachers on how to deal with bullying? What happened? And what happened is, we're no longer living in this world. We're no longer living in the human being world. We're living in the technology world. The technology world has no feelings, has no emotions. It's not Hashem's world. He gave us technology to get things done and then get out. Don't stay there. Your toilet is stuffed, so you get a plunger to unstuff it. It would look very weird if you walked around the rest of the day with a plunger. So I said, create a plunger so you can unstuff your toilet. Doesn't mean you need to walk around with it and put it in your pocket so that it vibrates when you're diving. You look silly. You look silly when you come to shul with a phone. You look silly when you come to a daf yomi with a phone. You look silly when your mother and your kid come home and you're on the phone. You look stupid. Hashem gave you a matana to have a child. How many people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to have children and can't? And He gave you this present and you're trading that present for a phone? How you treat your child when they're young and how they're going to become? They're going to become the same as you. How come my child never calls me? How come my child doesn't give me attention? Because, Ma, you never gave me attention. You're busy with your friends. I'm busy with my friends. Oh, Rabbi Wallerstein, how did this happen? You paint your child. You paint the portrait of their self-esteem, everybody here. You say nice words to a child, and that child will grow up to be a nice person. You say mean words to a child, and that child will grow up to be a mean person. You don't say any words to the child, and that child will grow up to be indifferent. And when a child gets off a bus, you better be there. And when a child gets on a bus, you need to be there. When a child goes to sleep, you need to be there. Not, so Connie, hold on a minute. Good night, everyone! So what's happening? And the child says, me phone, mommy picked the phone. Daddy picks phone. And they're thinking, they won't say it to you because they don't have the nerve to say it to you. And then later on, when they're teenagers, why are you always on the phone? We got to tell our daughters, get off the phone! And the kid's thinking, you're always on the phone! So why should I get off the phone? So they don't say it, and then you have this fight, and then they say it, and then all of a sudden they're off the desk, and they're fighting, and the whole thing explodes. Guess what, mommy? You wouldn't have been on the phone as a kid. And she was growing up as a kid, she wouldn't be on the phone either. And daddy. And all us men who think that we're big tzaddikim by not giving our daughters attention. I went to the Gedolim among us. We don't understand why our girls, so many of them are going off to derech and finding 14-year-old girls going out with 16-year-old boys. And I've been right every single time. And I'm scared. So when the parents bring the 14-year-old girl, forget about 14. 8th graders. Because the 8th graders are able to get in contact with the 10th graders because they got the joker. They got the phone. They got the fourth dimension. So I'm not dealing with 10th graders anymore. I'm dealing with 8th graders, 7th graders. Why is a 7th, 8th grade girl reaching out to a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy? And every time a parent brings their 14-year-old daughter who was about to get kicked out of the shackle because she was caught talking to a boy, and she walks into my room and she sits down, and I'm like, I have to warn you, I'm a big makubal. And they look at me and they're like, no, you're not. I mean, yes, I am. Nobody knows who the boy is, but I know something about the boy. You're what? How old are you? 13? He's 16, 17. How do you know that? I'm like, come on. And I'll tell you something else about the boy. He doesn't get along with his mother at all. She henpecks him. She makes him crazy. What? Do you know that? You know who it is? How did you find out who it is? I'm like, I don't know who it is. Now let me tell you a little bit about yourself. Uh-oh, you better, I always do this. You better hide your forehead because I read the line. And this time I get crazy. Like, oh my gosh, he's a McCoy. He knows everything I'm thinking. And I'm like, you don't get along with your father. That's right. And some of the girls say, no, I do. I'm like, I don't mean get along. I mean, does he talk to you? Does he take you out to eat? Does he talk to you about what you're going through in life? Your challenges? Does he talk to you? Oh, no, that he doesn't do. He doesn't scream at me, but he doesn't talk to me. So let me tell you what happens. She's like, how do you know I don't get along with my father? And the answer is Pasha. The way Hashem created us is that he created in a woman a need to have unconditional love from a male. Now, until she gets married, that's supposed to come from her father. That's a healthy relationship. So he talks to his daughter, and she knows that if a boy texts her, she's going to run to her father. Oh my gosh, look at this. If she's going through a struggle, she's going to run to a father, because a father gives unconditional love to his daughter. And many of the shalom bayis situations that I deal with is when that doesn't happen, there's a fight because the mother is saying to the girl, what's with you? When I was your age, I made supper every once in a while. I cleaned up the Shabbos table. I wasn't a lazy bum. What's with you? The father can't say that. He was never her age. He's a guy. So the father says to his wife, listen, Leo, you weren't such an angel. Boom! Boom! Oh, you're taking her side against me? It's Shalom Bayis. Time to go to Wallstein. And I explained to them, it's natural for a father to give his daughter unconditional love because he was never a girl. So, you don't have Rahmanas on her, you don't really understand her, when you don't understand something, you're much softer with it. Vice versa. When it comes to a boy, I have the same problem. With a guy screaming at his son, you lazy guy! Get up and dominate! I just get up and seek you with my father! Take out the mother! And she's like, Chaim, go off the deck. What are you talking? He's like, you're protecting him over me the opposite way. Because a boy is supposed to get unconditional love from his mother, which he normally does. And he can do no wrong. And that's why we have a big problem with Shidduchim. Because no one's good enough for her son. But Rabbeinu, no. You have a list. No. Nobody would be good enough. Nobody. Avraham Avinu, Balchumah. Balchumah. You found an idol store. Nobody would be good enough for mother. And from us, no one's good enough for our daughters. That's why Hashem created us. What happens if the father doesn't give unconditional love to his daughter? Rachel, you take care of the girls, Chenoch. I'll take care of the boys, Chenoch. And you have no relationship with your daughter. So she's getting it over the head from her mother, because that's normal. Because the mother lived as a daughter, so her mother's giving it to her. She's giving it what we call conditional love. She loves her, but you better do what I'm asking you to do. And she needs this unconditional love, which is part of this partnership, and she's not getting it. And she's 13 years old, and she's 14 years old. Along comes a 17-year-old guy and tells her, you're amazing! You're wonderful! Don't listen to your teachers! Don't listen to your parents! You're beautiful! You're brilliant! She never got that from her father. So she's getting this male love, which is totally wrong, totally misconstrued. But the guy knows his kid's vulnerable. And why did a 17-year-old guy with a 14-year-old girl? Because a 17-year-old guy with a 17-year-old girl, she's not giving him no unconditional nothing. Why are you late? I don't like your shoes. But a 14-year-old girl is like, wow, he has a car, he's shaving, and he's giving me attention. And this poor girl is going down. You know why? Because the father thought, that's not my kid. I don't got to take care of my daughter. I don't got to talk to her. So she's vulnerable. She's looking for unconditional male love. Oh, there's something that has a lot of that. And the poor boy, who's not getting along with his mother because she's killing him, who needs that motherly love, but she's busy on the phone with her friends and everything else. A 14-year-old girl is telling him, wow, you drive. You're amazing. Of course he's going to fall for it. We have to be involved in the chinuch of our children, son, daughter, father, mother. Makes no difference. We have to wrap them around with love. We have to wrap them around with chinuch. not at 16 when they're off the derech, and they'll get you, oh sure, now you want to be nice to me because you want me to be religious. I just had such a bikuach, such a crazy bikuach with a kid. So intense. And I hate to say it, she was so right. Totally off the derech. Doing every avera possible. Her parents begged her to come see me. She finally came to see me, which I don't like. If you want to come see me, don't come because someone begged you, because then you're not interested in what I have to say. She came with her parents. And she's complaining this, and the other thing. Finally we get to the end of it, and I'm like, but now, your parents and mom are willing to do anything from you. They're willing to put up with anything. They're just, they give you unconditional love. That's what I said, unconditional love. She said, not true. I said to the parents, are you giving me unconditional love? She wears pants, she's like on the Shabbos, you let her into the house. I'm not even so for all that, or whatever it is, yet they're letting her do everything. She's a very smart kid. So she turns to her mother and father and says the following. I want the honest truth. If I told you now that no matter how much love you're going to give me, and no matter how nice you are to me, for the rest of my life I will be a machal of Shabbos, I will do every Avera, would you be doing all this stuff for me? Or are you doing all this stuff because you believe if you do all this stuff, you went to some rabbi, you went to some life coach, you went to some therapist, and they told you, if you give her everything, you have a shot that maybe she'll come back to Judaism. Mommy and Tati, I'm asking you a question. If you knew for sure that I was never coming back to Judaism, and I was going to be like this the rest of my life, would you give me anything you're giving me? No. No, the reason we're doing all this is because we hope to come back the first time. So she turned around to me, she said, see? Not unconditional love. There's a condition. Now, not right now, but some rabbi said that if your wife do it like this, she's going to turn around. So the condition is that I'm going to turn around. So it's not unconditional love. And I think to myself, Tati and Mommy, too late. Oh, if you would have treated her when she was a kid, take her for pizza, right, go for a ride with her, take her to Lake George, give her time when she was 6, 7, and 8, we wouldn't be here today. Now, at 16, you want to turn it all around? Oh, that's not going to be so easy. But I didn't tell that to her. I turned to her and I said, they're giving you unconditional love. Because we believe in the next world. And therefore, if I really love you, I will do everything I can to bring you into the next world correctly. So that's not a conditional. Just like I would do anything for you medicine-wise, food-wise, to keep your body alive, I will do it. It's not about religion. You're my child. And I don't want you to ever suffer. I don't want you to suffer in this world, and I don't want you to suffer in the next world. You are angry at me because I want to make sure that you don't suffer in the next world? Well, then there's something wrong with you. That's not love? That I don't want you to suffer in the next world? That I want you to do Hashem's mitzvahs? Sorry. That's unconditional love. But deep in my heart, I said to myself, too late. You lived in the fourth dimension on your phone, on your television, in your movie, in all this bluff. You get a live movie in front of you. You get bitched, you get hugged, you get kissed, you get cried, you get laughed with. You're the three dimensional thing, the real thing, in front of you, and instead, you're busy on your stupid phone. You're losing your child, and you're on your phone. You're losing your husband and your wife, and you're on your phone. And the phone doesn't care at all. When you fight, the phone does not cry. You do. And your children do. The phone doesn't care. The movie doesn't care. The internet doesn't care. The Facebook doesn't care. It's a world of zero feelings. And we are getting deeper. Deeper and deeper into that world. And the deeper we get into that world, the further we're going to be from Hashem's world. I'll tell you a story. I told you about the 3D glasses. There's a Shir HaShirim which I always talk about it. The Shlomo HaMelech, which is really Klai Yisrael in Shir HaShirim, says to the Goyim, the Shomer, if you find my loved one
which is Hashem, tell him one thing. What should we tell him? If I could tell everyone in this room that I could talk to Hashem, what's your request? And everybody over here wrote down a piece of paper, said, I'm going to talk to Hashem. He said, so, give me a request. So one person asked me, who's learning the children, children by Hanasa, Mashiach, they gotta really, you know, want to be careful, Mashiach. It's not someone that will have to be. If you find him, tell him one thing. Shecholas, I am sick. Ahava ani, I am sick. Tell him, I am sick in love with him. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of us have ever sent that message to Hashem? How many times we went to a gadol, to a tzaddik, who we believe is closer than us to Hashem, and said, do me a favor, bakashas Hashem, ask him, children, shalom, this, that. How many people in this room have ever said to a gadol, if you're going to speak to Hashem, tell him I am sick, in love with him, and I can't have him, because we're in gadolus. This is what we're supposed to be saying a whole day today. But they walk around, Shecholas Avoni, I am sick. I don't have you, Hashem. I'm so far away, I'm in a cell phone. I'm talking to a cell phone, I'm asking if it would marry me. I am so sick. How far I am from you. So the Goyim asks from Abelach, why are you sick? In love with Hashem. And he answered, because every word of Hashem is special. Because he loves us. Let me teach you something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about relationships. Before we say Kriyat Shema in the morning, we say Ava Rava. I'd like to count how many times in Ava Rava Hashem tells us that he loves us. Ava Rava, Ahav Tanu, right? It's six times, but we'll go through it. We kind of called Yerei Tavater and Sefer Li'Avo. Yachid Levein Li'Avo. Baruch Atah Hashem, Habayich Ma'amo Yisrael Be'Avo. U'liyat Chetcha Be'Avo. Six times, it says in Avo Rabo, that Hashem loves us, before we say Shema Yisrael. If you go at night, and you do Ma'ariv, Amen. Ahava Soilo. Ahava 1. Beit Yitzol Alpha. Ahav Tanu 2. Vahavatcha Atosim Mimenu 3. Baruch Atah Hashem Oyhev Amo Yisrael 4. Tell you something about relationships. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us 6 times that he loves us before he commands us in Kriyat Shema to love him. You hear? Can't ask you to love me if I don't verbalize and tell you that I love you. So if Hashem doesn't show up and say, you have a mitzvah to love me until he tells us 6 times that I love you. Now you have a mitzvah to love me. That's the relationship that Hashem has with us. Before I ask you to love me, I'm going to tell you that I love you 6 times. If husbands and wives would understand this, we'd have different marriages. If parents would understand this, before you demand that your child love you, you told him 6 times that you love him, I promise you he'll tell you back he loves you. Because Baruch should just say, I'm God, love me. No. No. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Do you love me? Do you hear this? That's the third dimension, people. It's not a text. That's real. We have to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan is the joker. The Satan thinks the whole thing's a big, fat joke. He is selling us a different world. That was so orangutan. I said today, you know, Facebook, this whole thing, there's nothing to do with anyone here, of course, but the whole thing of Facebook, it bothered me. Since it came out, I'm known as the Facebook rabbi. You can't make a speech without mentioning Facebook. I get this all the time. I was very anti-Facebook, and I got a lot of stuff about it. What do you mean? This Kirov place is on Facebook, and how are you going to get to your Talmidim without Facebook? And Facebook does so much good. And I just had this terrible feeling. The day it came out, it's just bad. It's just riddled with the suffering. It's just wrong. It's a social, it's a world, it's a social community created by man. No good. But I didn't know how bad it was. Forget about hurting kids and pedophiles and all the garbage that's on there. Forget about that. The big war of Mashiach, which is coming really fast. The big one was started by Facebook. Rabbi, what are you talking about? A few years ago, 2 years ago, in Egypt, a man, shopkeeper, poured gasoline all over himself and lit himself up because he was anti the government. Right there at that spot, they sent over Facebook to hundreds of thousands of Arabs in Egypt to meet in the square to go and rebel against the government. The gathering of hundreds of thousands of Arabs took less than 24 hours because of Facebook. And it's written in Time magazine all over the place. Facebook took down Mubarak and the Egyptian government. The government that's now run by a terrorist organization, by the Brotherhood. Israel is very scared that Egypt is on their border and it's being run. In fact, one of the things they already did is they don't allow Jews to go to Abu Khatera's kever in Egypt. Every year, all the Abu Khatera's used to go, the Egyptian government, these Brotherhood, closed. Aaron HaKohen's, the cave that he's buried in, where the Jews used to go, it's on top of a mountain. No Jews are allowed to visit any holy sites in Egypt. It's beginning. Now it's happening in Syria, who has chemical weapons, nuclear weapons, and the government goes down, the Brotherhood's there. And they're everywhere. And it all started. It could not have happened. And that's what they write in all the newspapers. Could not have happened 10 years ago. Because there was no way to call a rebellion of that size. There was no communication system that could bring so many people at one time to one place. Yep, you created a social network, but it ain't social. And the impending terror of the world that everyone's worried about now, Hashem should save us, is exactly this, that the Syrian government will be thrown over, and the Libyan, everything, and these guys are going to take over, and they're terrorists. They don't mind blowing up the world and blowing up themselves. Man-made nuclear bombs, even though he was brilliant, Einstein. Destructive. We are destructive. We create destructive things. They look like they're constructive. But he's the Joker. He's the Joker. Why do you think he's a superhero? People are getting killed and he can't do it. It's his world. It's rebuilt. So I was telling them today that told a story. It was this boy, and his father had a friend who had a daughter, and the friend called this guy's father and said, "I really would like that your son should go out with my daughter." Was it okay? The father wants him to go out, I go out. So he gets all dressed up with a tie and a suit and all clean and everything. Comes out to the kitchen, he's very thirsty. Has a can of Coke, opens a can of Coke. He didn't know his little brother shook it up. Opens it up, the thing sprays all over his tie and his jacket and his shirt. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to be late for the date." Who runs upstairs? He's like yelling at his brother. He runs upstairs, changes his jacket, his tie, everything. Runs downstairs, gets into the car, drives to the girl's house. Girl comes to the door with her father. He takes one look. Choshech. Her face is full of these big brown moles. He never saw someone so ugly in his life. And he thinks to himself, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to go out with her. My friend didn't see that face. He didn't make fun of me. Well, who are you dating? A monster?" He doesn't know what to do. "So I got an idea. I'll take it to a Ranger game. So for 3 hours, I can watch the game and I don't look at her. And most of my friends don't hang out in Madison Square Garden." So he takes her and he goes to the Ranger game, doesn't look at her once. He's watching the game. She's sitting there bored. Game's over, they get into the car. He's like, "So, you want to go home?" She goes, "I never went on such a short date. Usually guys take me out, 4 hours, 5 hours. He's like, oh, I don't want to anger her father because he's my father's friend. He says, you know what? We'll go to a bar. He takes it to a bar. Why does he take it to a bar? Figures, first of all, none of my friends are going to be there. Surprise. Right? But I'll drink enough that she'll be pretty. So he goes in, he takes the first drink, it's a little fuzzy, her face gets a little better. Takes the next drink, after four or five drinks, he's like, hey, beautiful! And he's drunk out of his mind! She's like, give me the car keys, I'll take you home. So she takes him home, the next morning, he's sleeping, because his father wakes him up, no, it's late, you gotta go to school! By the way, what should I tell my friend? Do you want to go out again? Hey! What did you do to me? She's downright ugly! Got these big brown boils all over her face. She looks like a monster. Father goes, really? He goes, yeah. Just don't tell her that. Just tell her father emotionally we don't text. Okay? Father says, fine. Goes downstairs, calls up the father of the girl, says, listen, my son doesn't really want to go out again. Emotionally they don't connect. He says, second date, you know, it's an insult to take someone out once. Even if he emotionally didn't connect, maybe this time he'll emotionally connect. Maybe a second date. Father runs up the stairs, puts him on hold. Come on, Chaim, a second date. This time you didn't see her face. She has psoriasis. And I'm not a Chaim. I'm not going out with her again. Runs back down and says, no, my son, really, it really didn't work. It's not going to work. So he doesn't want to schlep her. So the other guy says, okay, hangs up. Guy's laying in bed, his cell phone rings. Picks up the phone. Hey, what's doing? So you went out with that girl last night, Leah Schwartzberg? Disaster. Why? He says, why? Did you ever see her? She's downright ugly. She's got these big brown moles on her face. That's like, what? Leah Schwartzberg? We're all dying to go out with her. She's a 10. She's downright gorgeous. You must have gone to the wrong house. He's like, no. Right house. Her name is Schwartzberg. Let me tell you, you don't want to go out with this girl. The guy's like, you're crazy! Maishi went out with her! He was dying to marry her! She's a 10! She's gorgeous! She's a knockout! He's like, I don't know. Someone's playing games here. And he says to his friend, I don't know what you're talking about. Stop playing around with me. I went out with her. I know what she looks like. Have a nice day. And he hangs up the phone. And he rolls out of bed. And he takes his glasses, the next to his bed, and he picks them up. Oh my goodness. They're full of Coca-Cola. And he goes to the bathroom and he cleans his glasses and he says, she didn't have no brown spots on her face. I have brown spots on my glasses. Patty! Call her back! It's emotionally okay! I just got it that night! Call her back! The father, what happened? It was just a bad night. Call back, I want to go out with her. So the father says, okay, I'll call back. Call back the father. My son just went, he was in the middle of sleeping, he didn't really understand. He says, forget it, my daughter's all insulted. Nah. She ain't going out with him no more. That's it. Blew it. How come we're not chalas ava ani? How come we don't see the beauty in Hashem? How come we don't see the beauty in His creation? How come we don't see the beauty in His three-dimensional world? We don't see the beauty of a human emotion. We don't see the beauty of a child. A husband doesn't see the beauty of a wife, and a wife doesn't see the beauty of a husband. And surely we don't see the beauty of God, the whole world that He created. Because we have Coca-Cola stains on our glasses. Because we're so busy looking at things that we're not supposed to. We're busy looking at our phones, we're busy looking at things that we're not supposed to. So all those things are on our glasses. So when we look at Hashem, we don't see His beauty. We see His mean. People are dying. Kids are going through stuff. We see divorces. We see pain. We see no beauty. But Shlomo Melech walking around, Shekhinah Tavani! But your world is a world of roses, of Shoshanim! We're the roses, and the answer is, if you live in the fourth dimension, your glasses are filthy, you cannot see Him! There's a wall, says the Zaya, between us since the second day of creation, when He took the water from here and He put it up there. And He made a mechitza. And there's no kitov. Because there's a mechitza. Says the
Zayat, wrong, a mechitza brings people closer. Women, in shul on Shabbos, they can't come to shul. Unless there's a mechitza. If there's a mechitza, a man can be standing here davening, and on the other side of the mechitza, right here. Right here, I'm davening here. Right here could be a woman standing. Look how close we are. Why? Because he's a mechitza. Mechitza doesn't make things further away. Mechitza gives the ability for things to be closer. So Kadosh Baruch Hu understood that we cannot live seeing him. We can't. So he created a mechitza, says the Zayin. And the mechitza is Shemayim. And he took the Mayim from here, and he built a wall. And he called it a wall of terach. A wall of ice. And as long as we can see Hashem across that wall, we can get closer to him than ever before. And that's why when we go through tragedy, we get closer to him than ever before. But if the mechitza made out of ice, out of glass, is full of stains, then when we look across the mechitza at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see a whole disfigured, totally not what we're really looking at. We see the Joker, we see a movie, we see a fourth dimension, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Our glasses are full of Coca-Cola. So what do we need to do on Tisha B'Av? So we messed up. We messed up. We told Hashem, a 10? He's not 10. I don't want to go out with him anymore. I don't want to go to shul. I don't want to dive. I don't want to learn. I don't want to be experienced. I don't want all this stuff. It's too much. I don't want it. It's ugly. The whole thing is ugly. And now when a person, I say after 120 years, what they do is they take off your 3D glasses. You either got Eden or Gehen when they take that off. If you learn a whole life you spent doing Torah and mitzvahs, when they take your 3D glasses off, you see what your Torah and mitzvahs are real. Chas v'shalom, you were busy with everything else. When they take your 3D glasses, it's like me when they took it off and you can't see anything anymore. And you realize that all the oohing and aahing is just a movie. And that's Gehenna. In Gehenna, they take off your 3D glasses. And you find out that you wasted your whole life. In Gan Eden, they take off your 3D glasses. And you realize it's still a lot. So that's what we need to do. So how do you get this girl back? You told her no. So we're sitting at Tisha B'Av, and we've told Hashem no for 2,000 years. None of us are saying, Shachar Davani, I love you, I miss you, where are you? We're very busy with what we need. So how do I get her back? So I have no question in this story. If the boy, instead of telling his father, would have called up the girl, this is what I would have done. Hi, I'm the guy that went out with you last night. I really didn't respect you at all. I was really wrong on the way I treated you. But I have to tell you the funniest thing that happened. I was getting dressed for the date, and I opened a can of Coke, and it sprayed all over my glasses, and I didn't realize it. You're not going to believe it. When I came to you out, I thought you had these huge brown pickles. But it was the Coca-Cola. And the whole night, I didn't want to look at you, because it's disgusting. Isn't that funny? But now, I cleaned off my glasses and they're clear. Can I get another date with you? I really never saw you. And you know what? If it works, we'd get married, we'd have the funniest story for our kids and our grandchildren. The first time I went out with mommy, she had these big pimples on her face, but she did it, took off my glasses, and because you know, like, that is the funniest story I've ever heard. So this Tisha B'Av, we have to say to Hashem, because Baruch Hu, I apologize the way I treated you. I treated you because I had Coca-Cola, I had schmutz all over my eyes and all over my glasses. It really was my fault. But I cleaned my glasses, Hashem. I'm done with that phone. And I'm done with my internet. I'm done with my Facebook. I'll use it only when I have to use it. I realize now it's dead. And you're so alive. So alive. Can we go out again? 2,000 years. We haven't been on a date. Can we go out again? Please. I never saw your beauty. Shechelat Ava Ani. I didn't know what you looked like. Give me another chance. And you know what, Hashem? This time we're going to make it work. And when we get married, when Mashiach comes, we're going to sit by the stool as Mashiach. And we're going to talk about how long this should have took, Hashem. We went out for 2,000 years and we didn't long shidduch. And we're going to laugh together about all the stuff that we thought as human beings was the real thing and it was fake. We're going to get married again. We're going to have a house again. We're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. And everybody's going to be cured. We're going to be healed. We're going to be Shalom Bayis. We're going to be Parnassah for everyone. You see, Yidot Shalom Melech was the smartest person in the world. You don't need to ask Hashem for anything. You just need to have a relationship with Hashem. Because once you have a relationship with Hashem, you're going to get everything. So my brother to everybody, last year the wife guy didn't realize it. I didn't realize it. If you listen to the tape from last year, I gave you all a bracha. That next year, that was last year, next year, Mitzvah Hashem, all of us on Tisha B'Av should be able to eat and drink and sing. And I'm not sure cool. This Tisha B'Av, you all ate yesterday. I'm sure you had. Everybody was into Shabbos big time. All right, all of a sudden, my rabbi got up and said, there are people who hold it, you're not supposed to change it. You're supposed to be wearing your old suit. Right? And they went after it. What? It's Shabbos! The last time everybody screamed the Shabbos. Not yesterday. Man, Machmir, me, Shabbos shooters! Tell me, me, Shabbos shooters. Me, Shabbos shooters! Why, Shabbos shooters? You know how much Hashem loves us, everybody? It's a day that He lost all His children! It's a day that He lost His houses! It's a day He sent it to Golas! It's a day that the Shechinah wearing black and ripped clothing and standing by the Kaisel! He lost everything! He said, you know what, my children? I'm not an Indian giver. I gave you Shabbos. It's the worst day. I sit on the floor usually Tisha B'Av. Not Shabbos. You can eat, you can drink, you can sing Zmiris, you can sing the Chadaydi. Party! He said, I love you more than myself. I will not sit on Tisha B'Av. I will not ask you to sit in Averis. I gave you a present. A long time ago, I went into my treasury and I gave you a present called Shabbos. And I'm not an Indian giver, even on the worst day of my life. Shabbos? Is the best day. So again, we all said, tell everybody what Shabbos is! So all three came true. We ate, we drank, we sang news. But I also said, well, we should be in the Beit HaMikdash next year. That didn't come true. But three out of the four came true again. So it's not so hard for us, well, nothing's on him. We already ate this year, we already drank, we already sang news. So just one more thing, Beit HaMikdash. Mashiach. So my bracha to everyone is that we got three out of four this year. Next year, Mitzvah Hashem. I didn't look at the calendar. No matter when Tisha B'Av comes out, we should get four out of four. We should all be with Mashiach. And may we be amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Men who are not saying, men, please do not beat the back end. Men, please leave the side door open here.
Be very careful before you tell somebody you know who you're talking about. Just sort of stay safe in here. Surely, I don't want to get to
the next year is the study of the Gilas.
The women stay for that.